Good morning to this worship service to celebrate our teachers, our advisors, and as always, the celebration of our children. Call to worship this morning will be a UU tradition that we have in Social Justice Sunday, in Chapel Sunday, and in many of the classrooms that the children are going to share with you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sarah, your worship associate this morning, and our chalice lighting today comes from Torben Frank, a young man. When we were born, our surroundings presented a wonderful new environment to explore. Our intelligence was still intact, and our sense of imagination was at its most powerful. Just by observing newborns and young people, it is so easy to see how wonderful they find new objects. Touching, moving, throwing, tasting anything they come close to. They discover their own bodies and start to use them to their advantage. Our society offers a lot of substitutes for having fun with each other. It gives us cinemas, arcade machines, discos, etc., which are fine to use, but not if it causes isolation between people. All these things take our energy and attention away from each other and having close contact and fun with each other. Today's a wonderful day to be close to the young people of our congregation and have fun.
I am Jody Weldon, the Director of Religious Education. Our first celebration is with the fourth and sixth graders, our lessons this year. Their teacher, Christine Ginsburg, will lead them.
It's been my great pleasure to teach this group with Lori Tharps. We've been together for a whole year. And I want to read to you the theme of our entire year. And I'm going to read it twice. It's very short. And maybe what we'll do is all say it. Let's see who can remember this thing. I'm the only one with the key. One, two, everyone together? One, two, three.
Love is the spirit of this church, and service is law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
So I'll try that once more so that everyone can hear. Love is the spirit of this church and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. And that phrase, that poem, has informed all of our lessons this year. And the format of the class has generally been built around a story. So what we'd like to do for you today is read the final story for the class. And our tradition has been to rotate readers. So each participant will read one paragraph of the story in order. So do you want to read first? Let's read the first paragraph.
The Treehouse Rules. The treehouse was built on the congregation's grounds over these three Saturdays in September, using donated lumber and the donated labor of the families who attended the church and other adults who wanted to help with the project. Even the kids got involved, especially those aged 10 and up, by pitching in and helping in any way that they could during the construction.
And it was a fantastic place to be once it was completed, with a window that faced a nearby playground, a rope ladder to climb up and a slide to exit. While everyone was happy that the treehouse was there, after all, the planning and construction, it soon became a problem when too many kids wanted to enjoy it at once. Their different ideas about how to use it came into conflict with each other.
The younger kids got a thrill out of running races through it, hurriedly climbing up the rope ladder, rushing through the treehouse to race down the slide over and over again, one after the other. But the older kids wanted to hang out in the treehouse after the worship service ended and playing games like jacks and cards. One day, a second grader racing by interrupted the fifth grader's game of cards for the third time. That was it. A fight broke out with name-calling, pushing, and some tears.
Some adults demanded that the treehouse be off-limits until the children learned to cooperate with each other. Other adults protested that their children had special rights to use the treehouse because they had helped to build it. The Religious Education Committee had meetings about a policy for use of the treehouse. They were getting ready to report to the congregation's board of directors with their findings. Meanwhile, the minister considered bringing in a consultant from the district to address the conflict, which had now spread through the entire congregation.
Yee.
But while the adults were arguing, holding meetings, and creating policies, something happened. The children who had been temporarily banned from the treehouse started talking to each other and looking for ways they could all use the playhouse together. A few of them remembered the covenants of how they created their RE programs the year before. They suggested a covenant could be created for how the kids could use a treehouse. So they sat down and talked about why they liked the treehouse and what made it fun. They discovered ways they could all enjoy their treehouse in the way they wanted to. They came up with a covenant which laid out how they would use the treehouse and how they would respect others who were also using the space.
Just as the adults were starting a congregational meeting to adopt a policy for the use of the treehouse, some church leaders looked out the window. They saw the children cooperating with each other and using the treehouse without conflict. A teenager was dispatched to the treehouse to discover what rules the participants had come up with. And when she reported back to the adults at the congregational meeting, the announcement came that the participants had created a covenant with one another.
The adults were humble. She glanced at the church covenant framed on the wall, hanging there mostly forgotten. The congregational meeting was adjourned. The adults went on their way, reminded the power of covenants working together to find the solution, and the covenant of people in the right relationships with one another, all because of the treehouse rules.
Well done. Well done. Well
done. All right, now we have an exciting offering. Mark has prepared our children. So children who are involved in the children's choir, come on up.
Thank you.
Every family has a different ritual for giving gifts. Many of you know I moved to Philadelphia so that I could be with my family who lives in Glenside. And so part of coming here meant that I got to learn how they did things even more. And gift giving is one of those things. My sister's family gives gifts that each other wants. It's a way many of us do it. The twin girls at the age of 20 want, clothes, perfume, some books, some pens and pencils, and a few more clothes. I was amazed last Christmas, one of them sent me links to all the places on the computer where I could buy the things for her. She's very organized. My nephew, their brother, is a college freshman, and he likes big things like guitars. And he's willing to get them months ahead of Christmas. He organizes all of us, what are we going to be contributing? And he's glad to get his big item before Christmas and have nothing under the tree. So that works well, and I'm learning all about these traditions. Truth be told, though, I love thinking about someone and choosing a gift for them. I love the pleasure of thinking about what might give them joy and delight, and what can I give them they won't get from anywhere else, that they wouldn't think of. I love all that. And so I've had to work on what to do about that in this system. And of course, what I've decided is I'm going to do a little of what they do and a little of what I do, because I can't give up that other thing. I enjoy it too much. Loving children and giving to them is filled with choices. How much do we give them what they want? How much do we give them what we want them to have? And how much do we give them what we know they need, even if they don't know it? These are choices parents make every day. So there are these things that they don't know they need. And part of them is fun, like the bubbles, what Sarah talked about. When I was, I've been coming to Philadelphia for 30 years. My sister's lived here that long. And when the girls were 7 years old, I decided to dress up because Halloween here is amazing. And I've never seen it done so well. And so I wanted to be a part of it. So I decided, I talked to their mother to make sure they'd know who this was. I said, okay, I'm going to be a Spice Girl, which is a band, rock women girl band. And I'm going to put spices in little baggies and pin them all over my shirt and wear a dancing skirt and see if they can guess who I represent. So I did all this out in Wisconsin and got it all here, put it on, and I came and walked out into the hallway, and the 2 7-year-olds, they knew they had to guess who I was. So they stood there for a minute and looked, and then all of a sudden, one of them began to smile and then began to laugh. And she said, Auntie, you're a Spice Girl. I said, yeah, right. So that was a lot of fun. So we do things like this, gifts to our children that they can't know exist, but we know bring them joy. But there are many things we give our children that are profound and very serious. These are things they have not asked for, and they also do not know they need. Additionally, there are things we want our children to have, which we can't give them. We depend on others to give them. And that's why we are here, because we need each other to give to our children. We can't bring them a whole community of people who love them and care about them by ourselves. The importance of a religious education program at USG and the power that you all bring to the love of the children here you can't repeat it in any other way. It's the only way it can happen, and you all do it. It's critical. It brings us through an entire lifetime with David Williford of learning and being a part of a group who cares about him. And so as a result, we have a religious education program that then sends our children out into the world as adults, where they can be in the world in a way that they know that they are loved, that they understand the free mind, and they respect others in living their lives. When you are training to be a religious professional, like I did at theological school, you are asked to work on your elevator speech, which is, an elevator speech is you have to describe something in 25 words or less. So describing Unitarian Universalism in 25 words or less, if you haven't tried it, give it a try. It might take you a couple of years, but it certainly took me a while to come up with something that rang true for me. In the end, my elevator speech is Unitarian Universalism protects and nurtures the sacred ground of the free mind. That's what I believe about Unitarian Universalism. We are the only organized religion in the world that does this. Certainly, there are other places and people and groups that do this, but this is the only place our children can come to practice what it is to have a free mind, to work for others to be free, politically, socially, and spiritually. It's easy to underestimate or take for granted or not totally absorb how important that is. But I think we can celebrate it here this morning, and I know deep in everyone's heart here, you do know how important it is. And so I just want to raise it up one more time. And that is what these teachers and advisors and child care workers do for our children. Every week, day in, day out, the RE committee dedicated to creating an environment of joy and learning. And we're going to honor them in just a moment. Unitarian Universalism is a religion which protects and nurtures the sacred ground of the free mind. In my mind, there is no more important gift that we give our children, which they do not know they need, but which we know they must have. Amen. Amen.